live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, it's been confirmed the work is ongoing to assist two Donegal families which are said to be under harrowing pressure financially. A Donegal deputy has hit out at the Taoiseach following Lindsay Bennett's High Court settlement. There are urgent calls for funding to be sanctioned to repair footpaths in Glendies, with paths said to be posing a real danger to pedestrians. And a Donegal County Councillor believes quality broadband is now a basic need and is just as important as electricity. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15, followed by farming and news and views with Chris Ashmore. But first in news, the head of the HSE says it'll be extremely challenging to meet the target of vaccinating all over 70s against COVID by the end of March. Backup plans are being worked on after new advice to give people in that age group the Pfizer or Moderna jab rather than AstraZeneca's. Those vaccines are harder to store, and the HSE says it's unlikely individual GP surgeries will be used to vaccinate over 70s. Chief Executive Paul Reid says getting to everyone in that cohort by the end of March will be difficult.
We're still working through the logistics, how that would work. We can't definitively say right now if we'll complete it all in the same time that we originally planned. That's what we want to do. That's what we're mobilising to see, can we do? Our intention is to do it in the time frame we committed originally. However, that's going to be extremely challenging, but we wouldn't like to drift much longer.
Well, Lifford GP Martin Coyne says his practice is already looking at ways that Pfizer and Moderna vaccines could be administered to older patients.
We've identified the 125 patients that we have over the age of 85, and we're contacting them today just to let them know that we will be sending them texts with appointments. We'll set up a large single clinic for those patients in a local community hall, and that's the way most big practices will go about it.
The HSE says daily vaccination figures will start to be published from next week. The latest update shows just under 58,000 doses have been administered in the last week, around 8,000 per day. It brings to more than 219,000 the number of people who've received at least one dose of the COVID jab. In the north, 10 additional COVID-19 related deaths have been reported, and 412 people have tested positive for the virus in the last 24 hours. There are 671 patients in hospital being treated for the virus in Northern Ireland, with 68 people in ICU. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has said he's sorry Lindsay Bennett's case against the HSE wasn't settled sooner. The gravely ill mother of two settled her case yesterday following a legal battle over the handling of her smear tests. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
Following the cervical check scandal, then Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said that no woman involved should have to go to court. Since then, a number of women have had to go through legal proceedings, the latest being 32-year-old mother of two, Lindsay Bennett. Leo Varadkar told The Dáil earlier not all cases could avoid legal proceedings.
And it is the case that on occasion, and on more than one occasion, the disputes, the facts are disputed. Scientists, doctors can say that they weren't negligent.
The Dáil heard these women have been let down by the government, with Labour leader Alan Kelly warning there will be many more cases.
Why 3 years after you stated on the 6-1 news, which I remember watching live, that women would not have to go through courts, are there nearly 200 more cases estimated lined up? 200 cases.
Sinn Féin's Piers Doherty described it as a scandal and said what was promised to the women involved needs to be delivered.
Another family failed by the state, another woman who was forced to go to the courts again despite assurances that this would never ever happen again. It is a scandal, Taoiseach.
The Minister of State at the Department of Children, Disability, Equality and Integration has confirmed that work is ongoing to assist two Donegal facilities which are said to be under harrowing pressure financially. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin has in The Dáil raised the need for funding to be sanctioned as a matter of urgency for both the Bluestack Special Needs Foundation and iCare, who have for many years been self-funding. That was up until 2 years ago when a small amount of state funding was delivered. Bluestack is said to be only receiving a quarter of the funding it needs to provide its services, while iCare is surviving on a third of the money needed to keep its doors open. Deputy McLaughlin appealed to the government to ensure financial help is provided for both facilities.
I want to bring to your attention the plight of Bluestack Special Needs Foundation, which is based in Donegal Town and services South Donegal, and also iCare, based in the Inishowen Peninsula. For 18 years, they didn't have any fixed financial support from the state. There was a campaign in Donegal to change that, and 2 years ago, they've been allocated €36,000 per annum. So they received €36,000 per annum. Now, I can tell you that would be a quarter of the real needs as identified by Bluestack Special Needs Foundation and about a third of the needs of eye care. They met with ministers for health and disabilities in the previous government, and I'd like to thank Minister Anne Rabbitt for meeting them last year. And I understand that Minister Rabbitt is trying to resolve the issue. But I want to say it really is urgent, ministers. You'll know that in the pandemic, the usual supports from the statutory services have not been there. And eye care and Bluestack Special Needs are taking the burden of pressure. And there would have been correspondence recently. I think we all would agree it was harrowing to read. So I want to urge both ministers to please ensure that they get the necessary funding. Remember that the HSE and other statutory services are referring young people and children with disabilities and their families to these community services. So,
well, Minister Anne Rabbitt confirmed that they are working to find a resolution.
You are right. I met with them last November. I met with EyeCare and Bluestack. And as we know at the moment, the HSE operational plans are being put together. And I have directly liaised with the HSE head, Dr. Cathal Morgan, in the last week in relation to this. It is a positive work that they do. They do fantastic work right across the whole county of Donegal. They service over 400 families. And you are right, the HSE refer to them. We are trying to put in place, in conjunction with the HSE down there, a solution that will continue and recognise the good work that EyeCare and Bluestack do. So that is actually going to hopefully work out very positively.
A number of weaknesses have been identified in the Garda Adult Cautioning Scheme following a review. The policing authority found significant challenges, including weak governance, inadequate recording of data, and no formal training for members to operate the scheme. A caution is an alternative to prosecution and can be used in 20 offences, such as criminal damage, public order incidents, theft, and fraud. Gardaí have responded to the review and outlined a number of remedial actions, including internal communications, training, and updates to the Pulse system. A Donegal County Councillor believes quality broadband is now a basic need and is just as important as electricity. The issue of poor connectivity, particularly in rural parts of Donegal, is said to be more prevalent than ever with lockdown, a big increase in people now working from home and online learning for children. Councillor Micheál Colmogill-Osbach says the government should have used resources closer to home in the first place for the rollout of the National Broadband Plan.
What the government should have done was that the government shouldn't have, outsourced or privatised the rollout of internet throughout the whole 26 counties. They should have used the resources that they have themselves, and they have the resources, they have the infrastructure there through the ESB, and it would make far more sense to employ directly. The government could have easily, if they choose to. What happens is that we elect people, and once they get to the top, once they get to that cabinet table, our ministers change completely overnight, and they start looking after the interest of the very wealthy, which it's very clear that is what they've done here, is look after the interest of the very wealthy, the big companies, so that they make profit, instead of us, the ordinary working people of Donegal, who are there to elect and there to pay their wages.
There are urgent calls for funding to be sanctioned to repair footpaths in Glenties, with paths there said to be posing a real danger to pedestrians. It's been claimed a number of people have suffered serious injuries as a result of the deterioration of the paths. The dangerous state of footpaths in the Glenties main street was raised in the Dáil by Donegal Deputy Pearce Doherty last evening. Brian Carr from the Glenties Development Group says the issue is worsening every day.
We have been, the development group, we have been lobbying for a long time now to get some work done. The footpaths have deteriorated massively in the last while, and even before Christmas we've had four trips and falls before Christmas, and one of them had to go away in an ambulance. And over the last number of months we've had broken bones, cracked ribs, cuts, bruises, broken teeth. We've had elderly people falling, young people falling off bicycles, mothers and babies in pushchairs. So the streets, the situation on the streets at the moment is just
it's deplorable.
And I'm sure the local authorities' hands are somewhat tied with budget constraints. You're really looking for the money at a national level.
Yes, well, we had queries earlier on. We didn't know whether it was the TIA that was in charge of the footpaths or whether it was Donegal County Council. So between toing and froing over the last while, we found out that it's kind of a mixture of both between the TIA and the Donegal County Council. So we're just asking for both. And as I said, we have been lobbying down through the last number of years. We're just hoping that someone will come up with the money to get these done before that there's any more serious injuries involved in Glenty's main street.
A man has been assaulted after two men broke into his home in Newton Stewart. At around 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening, the two men entered the property at Millbrook Lane and assaulted the older man, leaving him with sustained significant facial injuries and a suspected broken jaw. Anyone who was in the area and saw anything suspicious is asked to contact police. Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle has supported a motion for Dr. Niall Muldoon to be reappointed as Ombudsman for Children. The Donegal Town native was first appointed Ombudsman for Children in 2015. Children's Minister Roderick O'Gorman has praised Dr. Muldoon's work during his six-year term and acknowledged how he worked effectively to ensure children within the direct provision system could access the services of his office. Deputy Pringle told The Dáil that while excellent work is being undertaken by the Ombudsman's office, more action needs to be taken by government.
Fellow Donegal man Dr. Niall Muldoon was appointed as our second ever Ombudsman for Children in February 2015. I absolutely support the motion that Dr. Muldoon be reappointed for another term. Dr. Muldoon has been Ombudsman while we have been experiencing a catastrophic failure in housing policy, which has made thousands of children homeless. We have had countless reports and reviews on the issue, and the only problem I have with the Ombudsman's office is that it doesn't have the teeth to take action against this government. It must be very tough to receive complaints and heartbreaking stories, to report to the government but to have your recommendations ignored. Minister, Ireland signed up to the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child back in 1992. These rights need to be put on a legislative footing. That would be the massive systemic change that is required to actually make a difference. It is what the children around Ireland need. An urgent need right now relates to children with disabilities. We know that there have been huge delays in assessing assessments of needs and appropriate supports for families over the years. But now the COVID-19 pandemic has exposed greater failings of the state. The closure of schools and schools for children with additional needs during the pandemic meant that many children with additional needs regressed without their structure, routine or attention. And this has even led to children with additional needs having been expelled from schools that designed specifically to meet with their needs. When the schools reopened during the COVID lull, high numbers of children were left without school to attend. Children with additional needs have a constitutional right to education that has been taken away by the state's failure to provide appropriate supports to schools, teachers, assistants and their families, and that is vitally important. As I have said, the government should be legally held to account by the Ombudsman. Reappoint Dr. Muldoon and give him and his team the power to ensure their recommendations are implemented for the sake of the Wains Minister.
Sport in Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for home workouts at michaelmurphysports.ie with free nationwide delivery.
Time now for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Starting with some boxing news, and Jason Quigley's planned February the 13th fight with Shane Mosley Jr. has been cancelled. The Donegal man, who hasn't fought in over a year due to the pandemic, has had to withdraw due to a recent illness. Quigley is now working with his teams at Golden Boy Promotions and Shear Sports Management to arrange a new date. Jason hopes to be back in the ring around April. Moving on to soccer, and Owen Toole has been appointed Derry City captain for the coming season. Declan Devine has also confirmed that Kieran Harkin, Danny Lafferty and Kieran Call will share vice-captaincy duties for 2021. City's first game of the new campaign is away to playoff winners Longford Town on Saturday the 20th of March. Cross Channel Chelsea can continue their good start under new manager Thomas Tuchel tonight. The Blues take on their London rivals Spurs at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium at 8 o'clock. The winners will leapfrog Everton into sixth place in the table. Elsewhere, Arsenal's appeal against the red card shown to David Luiz in Tuesday's Premier League defeat to Wolves has been unsuccessful. The defender was sent off just before half-time after clipping the heel of Willian Jose and conceding a penalty. Arsenal say they accept the FA's decision. Meanwhile, Southampton have successfully appealed the red card shown to Jan Bednarek in Tuesday's 9-0 thrashing by Manchester United. The defender was dismissed after conceding a penalty for a foul on Anthony Martial, but contact appeared to be minimal. It means that Bednarek will now be available for Saturday's trip to Newcastle. And Newcastle striker Joel Linton has been fined £200 for breaking coronavirus lockdown rules by getting a haircut. The Brazilian posted a picture of himself alongside barber Tom Baxter on social media. Joel Linton has been issued a fixed penalty notice, while Baxter has been given a probation notice by the Newcastle City Council. Up in Scotland, the Celtic striker Ian Ayeti has been charged by the Scottish FA with simulation. In Tuesday's Scottish Premiership victory over Kilmarnock, he's accused of deceiving the referee to win a penalty early in the second half as the champions went on to secure triumph by 4-0. Ayeti, who was among the goal scorers, could face a 2-match ban. In ladies football, Northern Ireland's women will play England in a friendly as they prepare for the Euro 2022 playoff. The match will take place at St George's Park on the 23rd of this month. Kenny Shields' side attempt to qualify for their first major tournament over a two-legged playoff in April. In rugby, 20-year-old Lewis Rees-Zammit is set to play on the wing for Wales against Ireland in the Six Nations Championship on Sunday. Cardiff's Josh Adams was suspended for 2 matches for a breach of their coronavirus protocols. The Irish team will be named tomorrow. And Scotland, they've given Cameron Redpath his test debut for Saturday's Six Nations opener against England at Twickenham. The Bath Centre son of former Scottish captain Brian Redpath played at under 20 level for England but has now chosen to represent the Scots at test level. Redpath's former underage teammate Ollie Lawrence will make a Six Nations debut in the English midfield. Johnny Hill will partner Mario Itoje in the English second row. Elsewhere, Jack Kearney and Finlay Beelam will both make their 150th Connacht appearances in the Guinness Pro 14 trip to Dragons on Friday evening. Second row Gavin Thornbury will feature in the province for the 50th time, as will Paul Boyle, who captains the side from blindside flanker. Keelan Blade and Carty form a new look halfback partnership, while Matt Healy, he comes in on the wing to replace Alex Wotton, who drops to the bench. In golf on the PGA Tour, Rory McIlroy has recovered from a poor start on day one of the Waste Management Phoenix Open. He's back to level par after 8 holes today, having dropped 3 shots in his open 2 holes. However, McIlroy's already 6 shots off the lead, which is held by American Matthew Naismith, who's on 6 under par. Patrick Harrington tees off at 7 o'clock Irish time. And England's David Horsey leads after the opening round of the Saudi International and Golf's European Tour. He's on 9 under par. He shot a 61 today. He's 1 shot ahead of Scotland's Stephen Gallagher. Graham McDowell, Shane Lowry and Cormac Shavin all shot rounds of 70 for level par. Paul Dunn, he's on 3 over par. In tennis, Australian Open organisers are confident the first Grand Slam of the year will go ahead as planned on Monday. That's despite 160 players waiting for the results of coronavirus tests. More than 500 people connected to the tournament were told to isolate by the Melbourne health officials yesterday. That was after a hotel worker tested positive. Play at the 6 warm-up events and the draws were postponed today, so the draws will take place tomorrow. Players will be allowed out of isolation once they return a negative test. Finally, for this evening and some Olympics news, the Tokyo 2020 president Yoshihiro Mori says he won't resign despite pressure to stand down after he made sexist comments. The 83-year-old's reported to have said that women talk too much in meetings during an online session of the Japanese Olympic Committee Board of Directors. He's apologised for making those remarks. Well, there'll be more sport here in Highland after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And finally in news, the European Commission has given the green light to allow Ireland the flexibility to set a new reduction period under the beef emergency aid measure. It was after some farmers were struggling in meeting the 5% nitrogen reduction element of the scheme. Catherine Gaffney has more.
Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue recently wrote to the Commission seeking flexibility to offer farmers the choice of changing the reduction year from the existing period of July the 1st of last year to the 30th of June 2021 to a new period of January the 1st 2021 to the 30th of December of this year. The new reduction period will only apply to those farmers who opt to apply for the change. Those farmers currently on track to meet the 5% nitrogen reduction targets can use the original reference period ending the 30th of June. The department will be writing to all of the scheme participants shortly, giving updated nitrogen figures to clearly inform them of what they need to do to meet the requirements of the scheme, and they'll also be giving advice on how and when they can opt to change the reduction year.
Weather now, drier and brighter spells developing with the chance of scattered showers for the rest of today and highest temperatures of 5 to 7 degrees. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, the head of the HSE says it will be extremely challenging to meet the target of vaccinating all over 70s against COVID by the end of March. Backup plans are being worked on after new advice to give people in that age group the Pfizer or Moderna jab rather than AstraZeneca's. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has said he's sorry Lindsay Bennett's case against the HSE wasn't settled sooner. The gravely ill mother of two settled her case yesterday following a legal battle over the handling of her smear tests. The Minister of State at the Department of Children, Disability, Equality and Integration has confirmed that work is ongoing to assist two Donegal facilities which are said to be under harrowing pressure financially. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin has in the Dáil raised the need for funding to be sanctioned as a matter of urgency for both the Bluestack Special Needs Foundation and iCare, who have for many years been self-funding. That was up until 2 years ago when a small amount of state funding was delivered. And there are urgent calls for funding to be sanctioned to repair footpaths in Glendies, with paths there said to be posing a real danger to pedestrians. It's been claimed a number of people have suffered serious injuries as a result of the deterioration of the paths. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to your podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about a new pilot rep scheme which is on the way. But first, the County Donegal Executive of the Irish Farmers Association will host its 2021 Annual General Meeting on Tuesday week. That's February the 16th at 8pm. Now, due to the COVID-19 pandemic restrictions, the AGM will be online using Microsoft Teams. The guest speakers on the night have been confirmed, and they will include the IFA President Tim Collinan and Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue. This will be Mr. Collinan's first Donegal IFA AGM since he took over the presidency. He has previously visited Donegal on a number of occasions. County Chairman Brendan McLaughlin will be chairing the meeting, where future CAP funding and implications for Donegal farmers under the Brexit deal will no doubt be addressed. All farmers are welcome and are encouraged to attend the online Donegal IFA AGM. Now, if you want to get onto it and participate, you can text your email address to 087-344-8604 and you'll get a link to the meeting or contact the IFA. Details of a new rep scheme have emerged, and it involves a radical new approach to the agri-environmental farm payment, which will see the greenest farmers netting the biggest payments. Well, to find out more, I've been speaking with Barry Cassidy, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, I suppose, first of all, it's not a replica of the old one.
No, I mean, we've been waiting quite some time now to see some details of this scheme. I guess it's been long promised since the government formed, and this was the big selling point for farmers, that there would again be a rep rolled out. Eventually now we've seen something. I suppose COVID and everything has pushed everything back. But what we've seen now is, I guess you could say, a hybrid maybe between the old rep and the gloss. So what this new rep is on a results-based model. So that essentially means that farmers delivering the best environmental results will get the highest payment. Farmers will be familiar with the likes of GLOSS or AOS, where they're given a list of options, maybe wild bird cover, planting some hedgerows, or maybe putting up bird or bat boxes and getting the same payment for it. Under this new scheme, farmers, an advisor will come out to a farm, he'll look at a certain plot of land, he'll say, yes, your hedgerows are quite good, maybe you could do a, maybe cutting them on a rotation, maybe you could do it, maybe planting clover through the sward. He'll give a list of different things the farmers could do to improve their score. So once from that, the farmer has that initial score, that will determine their first payment. They'll then be given a list of things they can do to improve that score, and then they'll be scored again in the next year to give them an even better payment. So I suppose it's trying to encourage farmers to take an active role in the scheme rather than maybe passive action.
When we look back at the original reps, it was quite a game changer. What has followed since has been viewed with different opinions, and more recent versions have been somewhat disappointing. Do you feel that there'll be a big buy-in to this new version?
Yeah, well, I suppose what we're going to see now over the next 2 years is essentially just a pilot. Now, it's reading between the lines here, but it looks like it's going to be a very limited group of farmers. And that's from taking who can't take part in the scheme. So anyone who's in GLOS already or anyone who has taken part in GLOS won't be allowed to enter the scheme. Anyone who's in another environmental scheme, like the organic farming scheme, they won't be able to take part. So I suppose they're the farmers who would normally take part in these schemes. So essentially the target will be at maybe new entrants to farmers, new entrant farmers since 2016, as they haven't had a chance to join GLOS, or people who took part in AOS and finished up in 2018 and haven't been able to enter GLOS. So on a rough count, the numbers of those farmers are below the 10,000 mark. It will be quite limited at first at who can buy in. But it's such a different way to operate a scheme that I think the department is urging on the cautious side here in order to get it out onto a few farms first, see how it works before aiming for a national rollout. Of course, the other limiting factor is the budget. And that's one thing that the department hasn't published yet, is just exactly what public budget this pilot will have. Reading between the lines again, we know that there was $79 million announced in the budget for agri-environmental schemes. Now, that's not just for REC, it's for a whole host of different things, such as extending the agri-environment, the organic scheme to another 500 farmers, bringing a straw chopping scheme for tillage farmers. So REC will be battling for a portion of that budget. Just on some initial payment calculations, you're probably looking something in the region of 5, 6, maybe 7,000 euro at a push. But again, that will all come back and be determined again by what the farmer scores. So this won't be a uniform payment across every single farm that takes part.
Nevertheless, a scheme like this, of course, is putting money into the rural economy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anything that delivers money into farmers' pockets, but also delivers for the environment too, because we know how important that's becoming and the narrative that's coming around farmers, not only as food producers now, but also, and it's, you know, it's a nearly a coined phrase at this point, but custodians of the rural environment. But farmers need to be rewarded for that. It's not enough to say that they need to do that and not expect that to cost money, because it does, to, you know, to operate in an environmentally friendly way, particularly when food prices are so low, it will require support. And it'll require buy-in from farmers too. Like, I suppose what farmers are always very concerned about in these schemes is maybe a bleeding of money. So while they might receive a 5,000 euro payment, exactly how much of that actually makes it into their pocket by the time they've carried out all the necessary actions and by the time everyone else is paid. Now, we know this scheme will have to operate through farm advisors because of the detailed nature of on-farm assessment. Department staff won't be able to carry that out. So they're going to rely on vetting a list of agri advisors and then allowing farmers to engage with those advisors to participate in the scheme. So the farmer will be responsible for paying that agri-advisor. So, of course, that will be coming out of his pocket too, which all will have to be factored into farmers' mindset before they decide to take part in a scheme like this.
So do we know, will there be an awful lot of red tape associated with it?
I think what the department is trying to do here is get away from that element of red tape where, if I'm trying to comply with a GLOS scheme, my farm planner is drawing up a farm plan of what I'm to do. I'm going out, I'm having to be inspected on it, and all that goes with that. What's trying to happen here, I think, is maybe the department is trying to create sort of a live element where the advisor is actually on your farm, walking around, looking at the ditches, looking at the field itself, looking at the boundaries. Is there streams? Are there ponds? Is there habitat areas? And trying to really kind of bring that live element so that a farmer understands what it is they're being asked to do and why they're being asked to do it. I think what we've seen in previous schemes is farmers being told to do something and maybe not explain what it is that action is trying to achieve. But of course, if your payment is going to be determined by how good the environmental quality delivered is, it will be very important that you understand how to improve that score. So maybe it's more of a live element, and it's not that you have to do any one particular thing. Whatever is most suited to your farm, if that's what you're going to be allowed to do. And we have seen these kind of schemes roll out on pilot basis, and that's the fundamental way they operate, in that it's not from the top down, it's from the bottom up. Farmers know better than anyone else, you know, how to encourage something. So it's more taking their ideas and allowing them to apply it to their farm and then rewarding them for doing that.
And I suppose important to point out that whereas under the old REPs, the payment was really per hectare across the whole farm, whereas now this new agri-environmental scheme, as you say there, it's going to focus on the results delivered in more specific areas.
Yeah, and I think that's what really made that's why the old REPs was so popular with farmers, because I suppose no matter what size your farm was, you received, I suppose, a payment in line with the size of your farm. So if you were a larger farm, you received a larger payment. I suppose then what happened was, I suppose Europe and the departments across Europe looked at that and say, you know, it's not quite fair to pay a farmer more simply because he has more hectares than another farmer who's carrying out the exact same action but maybe receiving a smaller payment for that. So I suppose while in one respect, you know, REC kind of slanted in favouring the larger farms who took part. And since then, we've obviously seen this approach now to farmers are paid based on the cost they incur carrying out the actions and the income that they forgo by carrying out those actions. So instead of, you know, applying fertiliser to a ground, they've entered it into low input permanent pasture. What's the cost of doing that? And farmers are paid to compensate them for that. But I suppose the issue there is that it's not rewarding the farmer particularly for taking that decision to do that. So I suppose maybe this approach will hopefully get closer back to rewarding the farmers who put in the most effort and do the most, rather than just rewarding either a larger farm or just, you know, farmers feeling that such schemes weren't worth entering because the payment they were receiving wasn't enough to compensate for the income that they'd lose.
So whether it be GLOSS, AOS or the new REPS too, no matter what scheme you're in, the bottom line is it's money coming into the farmer's pocket here in Donegal. So going forward now, how soon are we going to see this pilot scheme getting off the ground?
So the department is currently running its public consultation. It wants to hear back from people on the idea as it stands currently. From then, that's going to close at the end of this month. And then the department is envisaging opening it for applications sometime between April and June. And hopefully then we'll see some form of payment to these farmers by the end of this year.
And that was Barry Cassidy, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, February the 4th. The death has occurred of Josephine Grant, Ardna Scanlon, Ballyliffin, Clonmany. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30. Going to St Mary's Church, Clonmany for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The death has taken place of Michael Courtney, Scotch, Ballyharry, Lechamy, Carndonagh. Michael's funeral mass will take place tomorrow morning in St Mary's Church, Boken at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, funeral is private to friends only. Funeral mass can be viewed live on culdaffparish.com. The death has occurred of Alice Gormley, Nae McGartland, late of 18 Orchard Road, Strabane, and formerly of 5 Gortrush Park, Omagh. Requiem Mass can be viewed live tomorrow morning from St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock via the parish webcam at melmountparish.com/webtv.html. Interment afterwards in Green Hills Cemetery, Omagh. And the death has taken place of Margaret Noel Alcorn, Nae McGrenra, Kilmore, Churchill. Requiem Mass in St Colmkill's Church, Glendoan at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, followed by burial in Garton Cemetery. Funeral service can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Churchill. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. No mass cards, please, family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to the Father Peter McFerry Trust, care of Charlie McLafferty, Funeral Directors.